This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 18th episode of my AppForce1 podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenerts and I've been developing software for over 18 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running the Dutch Cocoaheads for over 7 years. If you're an iOS developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about 24 quick Xcode tips, creating custom button styles in Swift UI, how to use Swift UI Picker, building type-safe networking in Swift, chained implicit member expressions in Swift 5.4, variable, tuple, closure, and generic type alias in Swift, the Swift compiler for beginners, and Danny's Monday morning tweet, so let's get started. It's going to be an interesting few weeks ahead of me. My wife and I decided to do some home redecorating. We're going to change out the entire roof of the house. We're doing some remodeling that will increase the living space in the house itself. Some small modifications, so to speak. We had some cold weather in the Netherlands, and that has postponed the start of the work already. So, big project, and already we're late. But fortunately, it's now thawing outside, and I can hear the ice sliding across the roof every now and then. So if you hear some background noise during this recording, then you know what it is. Another interesting thing that's been happening in my life is that my daughter, she's 5 years old now, she's having some problems at school. My wife and I, we did some digging and we did some investigating, and it turned out that she's just a bit bored at school. We have some paperwork available now that actually proves what's going on. And with this, we can actually help Lisa have a bit more fun at her school. So a lot of stuff going on, but I won't tire you too much with it. So let's go on with the news related to iOS development. Paul Hudson shares 24 quick Xcode tips. It's 24 ways that allows you to write code faster, build better tests, and navigate around projects more efficiently. As we all know, Xcode is a huge program, and if you can learn one or two tips from the article that Paul has written, you will be already more effectively and you can already save hours of time every week. Definitely have a look at this article, because there's bound to be one of these 24 tips that's going to help you out every single day. Gabriel Theodoropoulos has written an article on creating custom button styles in Swift UI. It's a short article, 5 minutes to read it all, but it is a nice overview of what you can actually do with a button view in Swift UI and what tricks and tools you have available to have a very different range of styles available on this single control in Swift UI. It's a nice overview. It has some very nice graphics in it as well to give you a decent insight in what you can all do with a Swift UI button. He also goes into the aspect of creating custom button styles, which is a nice tie into the dry principle, don't repeat yourself. So why repeat yourself when styling a button if you can do it with a custom style? Having a custom style allows you to have similar buttons all over your app, defined at a single location, so you can also update all your buttons with minor changes in your code base. Sarun has a nice overview article on the Swift UI Picker. A Swift UI Picker is an equivalent to the UIKit's UI Picker view. It is a control that allows you to select a value from a list of mutually exclusive values. You create a picker by providing three things: a selection binding, a label that describes the purpose of selecting an option, and the content for the picker to display. In this article, Sarun goes into detail on how you can actually create one of these picker controls, either by having static content or having dynamic content. He also discusses a few of the pitfalls you need to take into account when you are creating a picker view. It's a nice overview of this more complex control that you have available in Swift UI, and I think If you are not familiar with the Picker view in SwiftUI, this is a very nice starting point. Majid has written an article on building type-safe networking in Swift. In his experience during his career, more than half of the apps that he's created has to do some sort of networking. In this article, he will talk about building a type-safe networking layer using Swift language features like enums, phantom types, and extensions. It's a nice approach that is somewhat reminiscent of the Mojo library that I've worked with in the past, and I think it's very nice to see the thought process that Majid goes through in actually creating the type-safe networking in Swift. There's definitely some lessons in there that you could use for your code, and it's generally a good overview of how you can architect complex things in your code. Leave it up to John Sundell to do a nice deep dive into chained implicit member expressions in Swift 5.4. Implicit member expressions, also known as dot syntax, can now be used even when accessing a property or method on the result of such an expression, as long as the final result type remains the same. What this means in practice is that whenever we're creating an object or value using a static API, or when referencing an enum case, we can now directly call a method or property on that instance, and the compiler will still be able to infer what type we're referring to. Robert Pieta did a very nice exercise. He wrote an article that was only about type aliases. Type aliases of variables, tuples, closures, and generic type aliases in Swift. The fun thing about this article is that it's an overview of what a type alias actually is and what it can be used for and actually why you should be using a type alias. Sometimes it's very convenient to use a type alias because it clarifies something or it is just convenient for you as a software developer. So have a look at Robert's article and I think you'll learn some interesting bits about type aliases and how you can use it in your codebase tomorrow. It seems Tibor had some time on his hands because he's written an article called The Swift Compiler for Beginners. In his article, he tries to teach us how executables are built using the Swift C command, how the build pipeline with this command actually works, and what compilers and linkers are actually being used under the hood. It's a long-form article that takes you all the way from just using the Swift C command through to using compiler flags and compiling multiple source files and what this all means under the hood, because there's a lot of stuff going on underneath this small command actually. It's a nice and thorough article that allows you to get a little bit of a insight into what actually compiles all your source code. It's not something you're probably going to be using heavily tomorrow, but I do think it is good to read up on what the basic tools that you're using every day are actually doing, so that you get some grasp or insight into what's actually happening, and maybe the next big stack trace, this might help you out. And that's it for this week's tech articles on iOS development. So let's move on to Donny's Monday morning tweet. I myself have been working on building a state machine to support a login flow in a product that I'm working on. I'm also going to do some podcast recording, and on Thursday I'm going to release a nice interview with Chris Vasali with his Nihongo app. So I'm keeping my head down this week and I'm trying to focus on my work. I have many things to do and I have a big deadline at the end of March. And as I already mentioned, also some home remodeling and big stuff ahead actually. Filip Nemeček is going to improve the code highlighting of his site and he hopes to find less known YouTube channels about iOS development and he wants people to add them to the iOS feeds actually. You can do that by adding yourself to the iOS dev directory. Chris Vasali, who I already mentioned that I will be interviewing at the end of this week, has launched a big update for Nihongo. It's going to be cloud syncing, and he's slowly rolling it out and trying to fix any issues that come up. Pavel has started implementing a universal reusable core data store module for his current and maybe next apps. He says he has a solid background with the help from Donnie Wells' book. Aaron Cleveland, you should get back into your YouTube channel. Definitely do that. Trent is redesigning his journal for couples. It's a complete overhaul since he hasn't changed it much for over 2 years. Thiago Martino has launched a big release last Friday and he's now going through all the user feedback. Nicholas Elio has just received two interesting books. Both books are by Donnie Wells, so I think he'll be alright. Christian Kozorowski had a great weekend and a 17th wedding anniversary. Congratulations, Christian, to you and your partner. He will also be working on a side project, which is a universal Catalyst SwiftUI radio application. It's called Ether. Mikael Tigas has just finished adding UIKit sidebar support to the Focused Work app for the latest test flight builds. Tyler Boyd has just decided to start learning iOS development, so this week he's trying to figure out where to start. Tyler, biggest thing that I can recommend you do is to go over to the iOS Dev Happy Hour. It's a hashtag on Twitter. Many people out there that are willing to help you out and point you in the direction. And that's it for this week. A lot of stuff going on. People creating new things, releasing new things, getting started with iOS development even. Way to go. And I think it's been an interesting week for me personally. I will make sure to have Sam back on my episode again sometime next week or the week after, because I hope he will have some great news soon, but fingers crossed for that. And don't forget, next week is my podcast party. More information on appforce1.net/party. If you have any feedback, please talk to me on Twitter @appforce1. Keep an eye out for Clubhouse app, because I'm experimenting with it a little bit, and you can definitely find me there in the occasional room every now and then. So talk to you soon. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer. All one word.